We're going to turn to the prophecy of Zechariah and the chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, very near the end of our Old Testament. The last book but one. Zechariah chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 1. We're glad to see each one out here tonight. And we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Zechariah 2 and verse 1. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. Ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. The Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Amen. We're living in a day when the subject of health and safety is discussed in almost everything that we go to do, especially in business. And for many, it can be a real headache, of course. But of course, there are many measures which are very important. Wonder tonight, could we ask the question, is our church well covered? Not putting the committee on the spot, of course, but is our church well covered, well protected in the event of any accident or emergency? What about the Church of Christ? We're not thinking, of course, upon the building. What about every believer in the church? And the witness of the Church of Christ. Does the Church of Christ have a good protection assurance in any event? The answer is, of course, yes. The Church of Christ has a very good protection assurance. And it is God, of course, who undertakes the protection of his people in every age, and his witness in every age. And God sets out a number of terms in his plan of protection among his people here in Zechariah chapter 2. Israel has been suffering for 70 years in captivity for their sins. They're just about to return from their captivity to Jerusalem to rebuild their city. God has a protection plan for them when they get there. And he has the same plan of protection for the Church of Christ in every age. And we want to just look upon this subject for a few minutes this evening. God's protection assurance for the Church of Christ. Notice first of all, God's perception of us. How does God see us? How does he see the Church of Christ? Are we valued by him, and does he want to protect us? Well, notice what it says here in verse 8. For example, thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. And then listen to these words. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. He that touches the Church of Christ toucheth the very apple or the very pupil of God's eye. And of course this is figurative language, but God means to show us how much he really cares for us. The eye is, of course, part of the body. It is united to the body. It is one with the body. And, of course, so is the Church of Christ. We are, as it says here, the apple of God's eye. All of us belong to God. We are in Christ. We are united to Christ. We are one with Christ. And we are protected by the Lord Jesus Christ. God will protect every part of the body. And he will, of course, protect his eyes, his people, who are described here as the apple of his eye. He will protect this part of his body. And that, of course, is understandable. The eye is part of the body. And the eye is a precious part of the body. It is valued. We value our eyes. We would never want to see them come to any harm. And so it is with the church. The church who is described here as the apple of his eye is precious in the sight of God. He gave his life's blood. That's how much value he places upon the church. That's how precious we are to him. He gave his life's blood. He shed his blood that he might purchase us for himself. And of course, he will protect every blood-washed soul. Remember what he said when the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt. He says that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And what he meant there literally was that he would stand across the door to keep the destroyer out, the destroyer angel, lest the angel should come in and harm them, because they were under the blood. They were precious. They were protected by him. God does not want his own children to be touched. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. We are part of the body of Christ, and we are precious. Just as our eyes are precious to all of us, so we are precious in the sight of God, and therefore he means to protect us, just as we would do with our own eyes. God is very concerned about us. Health and safety is, of course, always pressing us, especially those of us who are in their workshop, to wear eye protection, and I'm sure many times you haven't when you shouldn't have, And perhaps you could argue and say there are times when you didn't need to, but they want us to wear eye protection. They're concerned, and we should also be concerned, and there are times when we really do need the eye protection. We should be really concerned about our eyes, because they are precious to us. God is very concerned about the apple of his eye, the Church of Christ, which are described in this fashion, just as we are concerned about our own. He's concerned about all the things that will be thrown at us in life, the things that might hit us as the apple of his eye, the things which might harm us. This world is a very dusty environment. Sometimes we have to go through a very dusty environment at times, and we can get a whole lot of things into our eyes. And we should be concerned about that, of course. Sometimes it's not so apparent. Some of you men perhaps have had a flash from the welder, and you didn't think that you did during the day, but later on, perhaps in the middle of the night, some of you may have been through this, then you know that you got a flash from the welder, and that the flash has entered through the pupil of the eye, and the harm's been done. God is also concerned about the harm that may be done to us. And there are those direct attacks, there are those subtle attacks against us and things that are thrown at us. And he's concerned about this as we go through our life's experience. We are, after all, the apple of his eye. We're precious to him. He's concerned about us, lest we should be touched, we should be harmed. He wants to protect us. That is what... This is what he's underlining here. He wants to protect us. We are the apple of his eye. God is also very conscious, or he is therefore very conscious about all the things that happen to us as the apple of his eye, and all the things that fly at us and would harm us. The eyes are, of course, very sensitive, and we can feel the pain in our eyes when they are touched. They're very sensitive, and so is God. Very sensitive to our situation. When we're hurting, he's very sensitive, he's very conscious of it. He feels it. We are the apple of his eye. When Paul was attacking the Church of Christ, when Christ confronted him there on the road to Damascus, what did he say to Paul? He said to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I'm feeling it. Every time you attack the church, every time you lay your hand upon it, every time you touch it, every time you take a swipe at it, I feel it, he says. Christ says, I feel it. I'm very sensitive to the harm that has been done to the Church of Christ. He feels it. Just as the apple of her eye would feel the harm that has been done to it. And therefore, God is very anxious to protect every believer. He's very anxious to protect the Church of Christ, who is the apple of his eye, and anyone who tries to take a swipe at the church or at a believer is taking a swipe at God's very eye. And he feels it. We are not untouchable. There are many who would try to attack us and take a swipe at us. The devil would often try to take a swipe at us. You remember how he took a swipe at Job. He said to the Lord that he was going to do so. The Lord allowed him to go so far. We're not saying that we're untouchable. We're not saying that we will never lose our lives. Some do. Some are. Every week. There are many, dozens, losing their lives for their faith. But they can only kill the body. The Lord says that is all they can do. They can't kill the soul. They can't touch the soul. They can't harm the soul. Our souls are safe because we're under God's protection. We're saved. We're fully and eternally safe and secure in Christ under the blood. We're safe. And brother and sister, tonight, encourage yourself in the Lord. God describes you as the apple of his eye. You're one with him. You're in the body of Christ. You're precious to him. And he will do his utmost to keep you to the very end. And he will succeed. He feels for you in every situation, in every event, in every happening. Whenever there are things to harm you, he's there to protect you. Just as we would with our own eyes. Remember this, brother and sister, when you're out in the world every day, as you work, as you educate yourself, when the world would want to take a swipe at you and harm you, they're taking a swipe at God, and he will always want to protect his eyes. Remember the next time when there's dust in your eyes, how God feels for us. He wants to protect us. He wants to protect us. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. But notice something else here in regard to God's protection, God's presence among us. This is underlined a number of times here in this chapter in verse 5. He says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." He will be there in the midst of her. And again in verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee." Three times over, we have the assurance of God's presence in this chapter alone, that he will dwell in the midst of thee. And this, of course, is underlined over in Psalm 46, a very familiar psalm. Many of our children could recite this psalm, Psalm 46. The whole theme of this psalm centers upon God as our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, at verse 1. Verse 7, "The God of Jacob is our refuge," and at the close of the psalm, "The God of Jacob is our refuge." And in this psalm, David says in verse 5 concerning God's refuge, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early." The secret of God's protection lies in the fact that he is in the midst of her. He is speaking about God being our refuge over and over again, our shelter, our protection. And it is because he's in the midst of her. That is where the secret of God's protection lies. It is in that he is among us. When something comes toward us to harm us in life, God is in the midst of us, just as he has promised. And this means that help is at hand. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And help is there whenever it is needed, because he says that God shall help her, and that right early. God is in the midst of us. And help is at hand. He's there. We can reach out to Him. He's only a prayer away from us. He's in the midst of us. And help is at hand. How many times have we read the words perhaps before we've entered some particular place in the interests of safety? All children are to be accompanied by a responsible adult. Health and safety, protection. This of course is common sense, and it is also common policy. It is part of the plan of protection among us. Children need someone bigger, someone better, someone wiser to accompany them, especially in the event of difficulty and an accident or emergency. And the Church of Christ, we need God to accompany us in all of the way, all of the time. And thank God He has promised over and over again to be among us, that He will dwell in the midst. God is in the midst of her. God shall help her. And that right early. In any event, the presence of God is promised. And this is the secret of our protection. Help is at hand. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Or as it is in the margin, help readily found. He's there at hand. Help is at hand. He will protect us. He will be with us. And brother and sister, remember this. As you embark upon a new day, as you go out into the world where all sorts of things will be thrown at you that you haven't planned to meet, that God is in the midst. We should remember this as a church as we go forward, as we take a stand for Christ in these days, that all the things and all the things that will be thrown at us, God will protect us. He's with us. He's in the midst. And we need to seek His presence among us every day and seek His help and have Him with us as believers and as a church and have His help at hand and have His protection. There is the assurance of His protection. We're precious to Him. He's in the midst of us. Help is at hand. But notice also here God's protection for us. In Zechariah chapter 2, of course, every plan of protection must underline the nature of the protection. And you notice what it says here in verse 5, the assurance that God gives to His own, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about." What a line of protection we have all around us. As believers, as the Church of Christ, and our witness for Christ, God means to set our mind at ease and to give us comfort in the midst of a hostile world. He will be unto us a wall of fire round about. And of course, walls are built to surround and to protect. And that's what God does for us and our witness. He will be a wall of fire around us. God has often promised His surrounding protection. You think of the familiar words in Psalm 125 and the verse 2. It says there, "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth, even forever." The Lord surrounds us. He surrounds the believer, the Church of Christ, the witness of Christ, to protect us. He is that wall around us. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 33, those familiar words, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We have the protection of God's loving embrace, his strong embrace around us as believers and as the Church of Christ. And also in Psalm 34 and verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. He even sends forth his angels to encamp around us and protect us. God means to give us comfort tonight in his word and remind us that he is that wall of fire around us, that he surrounds us all of the time. And you notice that this same wall of protection is impassable, because it is not only a wall, but it is a wall of fire. Who would ever want to attempt, or who could ever be able to burst through a wall of fire? Would any of us want to attempt to do this? Unprotected. And God surrounds us with this wall of fire to keep out the harm. It is said that travellers in all ages were in the habit of lighting fires around their tents when they would pitch their tents for the night, especially in the wilds where there were many wild animals. They would have lit this fire right around the camp in order to keep out the wild animals. And we're told that lions are absolutely terrified of fires, and it's to keep out the wild animals. There was this wall of fire right around the camp, and this allowed the travellers to lie down with assurance of protection all around them. You know, God means to make us feel safe. That is why we've turned to this passage tonight. If you're troubled, if you're anxious, if you're fearful, God means to make you feel safe tonight, to comfort your heart that you're safe. He is as a wall of fire around you. Not even the fiercest of things will break through. We trust God because we are under his continual protection. Our souls are safe. The old devil who goes about like a roaring lion, who would wish to drag our souls down to hell, he'll never get a hold upon our souls. God has a wall of fire around us. He says to Zechariah and to his people at this time that I will be a wall of fire around you, and you'll be safe. You'll be safe. You remember that there were no other walls around Jerusalem at this time. You'll notice in verse 3 what it says here in the midst of the verse, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Jerusalem is at this present time without walls. You remember some time after this what was said to Nehemiah at the beginning of his book, that all the walls had been broken down and the gates were burned, and they went afterwards to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There were no walls at this time in the days of Zechariah. No other walls to act as any kind of protection around them. As the children of Israel would enter that city and look all around them, there would be no physical protection. They would have to put their trust in God to be that wall of fire around them. He promised to be a wall of fire around them. He promised to protect them. And they would have to look to Him. There's no walls around this city, but God has promised to be a wall of fire around us. And so, brother and sister, tonight, we have to put our trust in God to protect us and to protect the Church of Christ in every age. We cannot depend upon other means of protection. Sometimes we do not have anything else to depend upon but God's protection. Sometimes we cannot see the wall of fire around us. We're blind, like that young man who was with Elisha in the city of Dothan. When the enemy gathered around that city to take his master Elisha and himself, God's servant prayed in verse 17 and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The young man could now see it. What he should have seen by faith. What Elisha seen by faith. God's protection was all around them. We need our eyes opened. Is God opening your eyes tonight, even under the sound of God's word? You who are fearful in some particular situation, God will protect you. You're precious to Him. He's with you. He's all around you. He will protect us. And just like Moses when he left Egypt with all the threats behind him and all the uncertainties of the future before him, we are told how he went forward, enduring, seeing Him who is invisible. His eyes were opened, the eyes of faith were opened to see that God was with him and that he was protecting him and there would be no harm come to him. We have to have such faith in the midst of a hostile world when there's so many threats and so many uncertainties and so many events and happenings that arise in our lives every day, to know that God is with us and to know that He is all around us, and to plod on and to endure and to go forward seeing Him who is invisible. Oh, that our eyes might be open to this every day, and especially when we are fearful, to know that God is with us and all around us to protect us. Every day and every believer and every witness has their own set of problems and difficulties. When we suffer some kind of loss or damage in this world and our business, whatever it may be, if we have the proper protection, then we will put in a claim. The world, of course, has gone mad on this issue, but there are times when we need and we can put in a claim. God has a protection policy. He has a number of them here described in Zechariah chapter 2. And He wants us in every event in our lives to put in a claim. To make a claim. He has promised to protect us. We are well covered. And I hope that you've seen something of this. We are well covered. We have the assurance given to us in God's word. And He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Has He not said, "He that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of His eye"? Has he not said that I will dwell in the midst of you? Has he not said that I will be a wall of fire round about you? Will he not look after you? Will he not be with you? Will he not protect you? In every event, in any event, or eventuality, be it in your own life or in the witness of the church, whatever the crisis, whatever the difficulty, whatever the problem, God wants us to put in a claim. And he's waiting for us to come to him in prayer and to plead with him and to remind him of his promises. Ezekiel lived in similar days to the prophet Zechariah, and after God had promised to bless his people in the days of Ezekiel, he stops toward the end of Ezekiel 36 and verse 37, and this is what he says: Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I've promised to bless you. I'll be with you. I'll protect you. But I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And thank God he will not let us down. God will not leave himself without a witness. He wants us to approach him. He's waiting for us to approach him with our situation, whatever that may be pressing upon you tonight, believer. He wants us to make inquiries. I will yet for this be inquired of. He wants us to put in the claim, as it were. He wants us to plead with him. He wants us to set out the arguments before him and to order our cause before him. And the things that are making us fearful in our own lives and in the church of Christ as a whole, that he will come again and bless us, that he will come and move among us, that he will come and increase us. Thank God we have every assurance in his word tonight that he cares. Because we are the apple of his eye, and he cares about us very much, more than we can ever imagine. And he's with us, and he's all around us, and no harm will ever come to your soul. You're safe in Christ. You're under the blood. Oh, that we might seek his face tonight and be encouraged to continue in prayer.